Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap for Tuesday, January 16th. As I tape on a Monday night, I see it is snowing again. So if you are driving this morning, be safe out there, tappers. It has been a snowy one here in the lovely Cream City and all over Wisconsin. But we're here to warm you up, if you will, with some hot takes, some spicy ones, and a lot of fun. As always, that's what we're here for, and that's what we're bringing you today. So it was a fun day for all those who had an investment in Wisconsin basketball. You had the Bucks in the morning, then you had Marquette at night. Both won. That's good. Some looked better than others. The Bucks more so than Marquette, who I'll write about later today. But, it was a good day. It was a good day for all of us. Got our week started on the right foot. Had a good Bachelor episode. If you guys watched that a little bit, Annalise, Scared of Dogs and Bumper Cars happened to be the last two episodes. Coincidence? I think not. Bibiana, I don't know if she's crazy or I like her. I felt bad that she got swagger jacked at the end of the episode. Kind of shitty. But those are just some quick Bachelor takes. So now that I've given you my quick Bachelor takes and got those out of the way, Giannis Antetokounmpo, ladies and gentlemen, 27 points, 20 rebounds, 7 assists, and one of the best games of Giannis's career. I could argue that was peak Giannis on Monday afternoon. He faced a Wizards team that they had seen 11 games ago. There is no love lost between these two teams. Giannis actually didn't shake the guy's hands after the game. If you may have saw that, you might have missed it. Shout out to my guy Dan Vores, who pointed that out actually on Twitter on Monday afternoon. So the fact is, it's like these guys have no this means more to Giannis and it means more to the Bucks, and they get embarrassed by Miami, kind of trending in the wrong way. I wrote about it on Monday, SnowtapWI, it's a website, on how that this thing looked like the ship might be leaking a little bit, and all of a sudden Giannis pulls everything out and gives it his all and wins this game. Now, I wouldn't say single-handedly, because Eric Bledsoe had a good game. Middleton showed up finally. But at the same time, Giannis had such a good outing that you are just amazed. It was one of those games where you're lucky to be a fan of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you're lucky to be cheering for him, and you hope. And that is why he deserves to be the East's best player, not LeBron James. It's Giannis. And Giannis should be getting more love for MVP. I know the MVP talk doesn't really start until after the All-Star break. Usually we go to the All-Star break, then it becomes the MVP talk. And yes, a team who's 23 and 20 maybe shouldn't have that, but things Giannis is doing on the court is phenomenal. And it, once again, it was on display on Monday night. You know, he took over the game both offensively, defensively, with the rebounding. You know, Giannis always is always good for a double-double, but you don't really expect a 2020 outing from him, and the fact that that was able to happen is otherworldly. It's not possible. It's not something you're going to see every game. You should be lucky that you're watching it. And then just the clutch jumpers, the fadeaway, the few jumpers he hit down the stretch as this game was got tight, and then the Bucks pulled away just like they did in the game against Washington a couple weeks ago. It was a carbon copy almost. And Giannis in that game hit some big shots, and he did it again today. And Giannis you're just starting to see it, right? You're just starting to see this guy who takes this team on his back and lets them go. And I hope that this is a reminder to Bledsoe and Middleton to say, okay, this is Giannis's team. We talked about this on yesterday, I believe, or the day before, about how Giannis needs to kind of be a little bit more like, this is my fucking team. Like, no one else, this doesn't belong to anyone else. And that is, I think, something that has to be part of their future, and this is the type of Bucks team that we need to see on a regular basis, and not the teams that we've seen through most of this January. And now the Bucks get Miami, who lost to Chicago today, and they can get another win against a playoff team. And if they end up being 4-4 in this kind of little tough stretch, I'll be okay with it. I will be able to live with it, or 2-2, excuse me, through these four games. I can live with that. I can live with being 2-2, and then you play Philadelphia, which is a big game, and there's no love lost between those two teams either on Saturday night in Philly, and so that'll be the next on the docket. So the Bucks Deluxe are still, it's a roller coaster. We talked about it last year, how it's a roller coaster. It's no different. It's still that same roller coaster. But right now, you have to be happy with what Giannis provided. And maybe it's the sign of the future. Giannis had said to Matt Velasquez on Sunday, and take this for what it's worth, but he said to Matt on Sunday, after he had only had 12 shot attempts, I think one of his lowest of the year, he goes, it's kind of a wake-up call. They just said the game itself was a wake-up call. Realize, you know, we have to play better. I have to be better. And I think at that point, Giannis looked at himself and said, okay, I'm the best player on this court. Like, there is nobody that's better than me. And not that he never had, like, lack of confidence, but sometimes Giannis, I think, can defer to his teammates. He said, no, fuck this. I'm not deferring to anybody. If it comes, it'll great. I mean, he did a really good job with teams doubling him and then finding the open shooters. If Malcolm Brogdon and others keep hitting big shots, Eric Bledsoe too, and on double teams, you're not going to be able to double Giannis, and then you're really in trouble. And that's something else, man. That's really good to see. So, peak Giannis, they'll see Miami on Wednesday night at the Bradley Center, and hoping to get two wins. First time they can get two wins since late December. They have not won two straight since December 28th and December 29th. So this is a special week. I want to wish you all a happy What's Wrong with Cleveland week. With the NFL dwindling down and not as many topics to talk about, people will immediately hone in on the struggling Cleveland Cavaliers, who lost again on Monday night to the Golden State Warriors by 10 points in a game that wasn't even that close. It kind of tightened up at the very end. The Cavs have lost four straight games. They are 26-17. The Heat are one game back of them for the three seed. They've lost 8 of their last 10. They are an absolute mess right now, and it's not good. Things you're hearing from them, it's a lot of LeBron's only looking for assists when he can pad his stats because he wants to be the MVP, because LeBron doesn't think this is a team that can win it all this year. And so instead of winning a title, he's going to go for the MVP. Tyronn Lue talked about players' agendas, and it just looks like a very contentious team. And you got to start wondering, how many of these guys know LeBron's off and gone to Los Angeles next year, and that's already signed and done deal, and it's not going to work? And I know that we all want to be like, okay, Cleveland's going to figure this out, like they're just kind of playing possum, but fact of the matter is they have no defense. They have absolutely none. They, for a little time, they fixed it, and it was like, okay, everything's all good again, and now things have gone shit again, where any team can score on Cleveland. Any team can keep it close. Cleveland can't blow anybody out. Take that Indiana game, for example, on Friday night. They had a 20-plus point lead, and Indiana was able to work their way back into that game and win the game, and so it's an issue. And where it stems from is the fact that they don't have a lot of 3-and-D guys. They have a lot of guys who are just sort of there, who don't really provide any value. Jay Crowder has massively regressed without Brad Stevens. And I'm, I'm a big Jay Crowder guy, being that he is a Marquette alum, but he doesn't fit in Ty Lue's system at all. He doesn't work, not helping. Kevin Love is an afterthought. I can't tell you the last time Kevin Love, really stood out in a game. Isaiah Thomas still getting his feet wet, but that's not going to help your defense. Isaiah Thomas is one of the worst on-ball defenders in the league. For as good as he is as an offensive player, he is not a good defender, and that limits you. Dwayne Wade obviously has lost a step. So you run through, and LeBron James too. LeBron doesn't want to play defense. He hasn't been the same defender as he used to be, and he just lets guys score at him at will. When's the last time you watch the game and you're like, wow, LeBron really locked that guy down? He hasn't done it all year. He hasn't done it for the last couple years. This whole What's Wrong with Cleveland is actually legitimate, and it's not something that I think we should take lightly. The other thing too about this to consider is the East is really good this year. This is as good of an Eastern Conference as there's been in quite some time, and I really hope that people are understanding that this is legit. They have 9 teams who are either 500 or better. They have contending teams with Boston, Toronto, and I'll put Cleveland in there because they have LeBron James. They can get to the NBA Finals with LeBron, the best player in the league. I mean, that's just a given. So they have 3 teams there, But if you look down the list at the playoff teams right now, the Heat are scrappy as hell. They can beat anybody on any given night. No role players, have probably the best coach next to Greg Popovich and Eric Spoelstra. He's top five. He has to be. It's very Rick Carlisle of him, too, to get this much out of a team that doesn't have it. And now they lose Deion Waiters, which is actually not a terrible thing for them. They've been producing even better with Waiters off the floor. And you don't want to make light of an injury, but that definitely hasn't hurt them. The Washington Wizards, who need some help. I mean, they definitely, you saw Giannis did them today, but they can win a playoff series. They did it last year. They can definitely do it again. And they pushed Boston to seven games before it lasts, a beatdown by the Celtics. The Pacers and the Pistons, who are 6-8, and obviously the Bucks. All three of those teams are surprised at, well, the Bucks aren't, but the Pacers and Pistons are definitely surprises. But they can give games. As Pacers, Cleveland, we just saw the Pacers beat Cleveland. They have some talent. I mean, Victor Oladipo is a really good player. They don't play a ton of defense, but they're maybe a piece away from being legitimate. And the Pistons are tough. I mean, they've kind of floundered of late. They haven't played well on the road. 9-14 on the road. And it's you just kind of wonder about them, but they still have it. And I know everyone would want the Sixers in over the Pistons, but there's a lot of good teams. And we don't really need to talk about the Bucks because you know we talk about the Bucks enough, and we know that they can give them a game, and the Bucks should probably be higher when it's all said and done. But the long-winded point of this is that Cleveland does not have a cakewalk. No matter who they're going to see in the first round, it is not a cakewalk. And if they get to play Toronto again, guess what? This Toronto team's different. Sure, they lost to Philly today, but this Toronto team is a different team than what they played last year. They are playing a different brand of basketball, a more updated brand of basketball. And like, case in point was Saturday when they played Golden State. They lost by two, but they were down 81-54 at halftime, and they came all the way back and nearly shocked the Warriors, and they came real close. And that Raptors team last year would have just laid down and not been able to do it. It's a different squad, and I think more and more people have to understand that. And if you the quicker you do, the better you'll be. So this Cleveland thing, man, it's not going away, and I don't know what they can do to fix it. I don't know what trade. If I am the GM of the Cleveland Cavs, I am not making one deal because I know that LeBron James is leaving. I do not want to give up any more draft picks. Dan Gilbert can yell at me all he wants. I'm putting a line in the sand and saying, you know what? There is nobody going to be here, and this team's going to tank next year, and it is not going to be – it's not going to be fun. Speaking of tanking and not having a lot of fun, and the Pittsburgh Pirate fans are not going to have a great season this year. After they deal Gerrit Cole over the weekend to Houston, Andrew McCutchen is dealt to the San Francisco Giants on Monday afternoon, and that is a major deal, with McCutchen being a former MVP, arguably being the face of Pirate baseball. He is now dealt. That would be a tough one. That's like a Ryan Braun getting dealt. That it really is. It's very similar. I know McCutchen doesn't have the same, wishy-washy stuff that some people like to portray with Braun, but that's on par. That is on par with losing Ryan Braun. I can't imagine what Pirate fans are going through at this point. And it sucks. I mean, it's not fun. The Pirates knew, though, that they were not going to get anything further than being a 80-85 win team, and they needed to take that next step. Now, granted, the market's a little different, and J.P. Breen made the comment that Brewers fans should be happy that they did this 2 years ago, because the returns are not that exciting. The Gerrit Cole return wasn't that exciting. Same with the McCutchen return, and the Brewers are now in a position where they are going to benefit from the Pirates being a 60-70 win team. And the fact is, the Brewers, the NL Central in general, Brewers, Cardinals, and Cubs get now to pick on the Reds and the Pirates all season, and that is big. Do not discredit that. That is something that I think sometimes gets overlooked when you're looking at how teams can perform in the MLB. And if they have a weak division, it always tends to trend well. And that's something the Brewers can definitely play their advantage, definitely take advantage of. And that could be massive for this team, and really, really sort of help them in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, the Pirates, I think, will not be anything near what we've seen in the last few years. They've been a team that's given the Brewers some trouble in both PNC and at Miller Park. And it looks like it's going to be back to the old days where the Brewers just beat up on the Pirates at Miller Park, because it's not going that well. And also, too, I did write about it, but the Mike Moustakas rumor was really weird. I'll just say that. I know Jim Bowden's not known for being the most concise source and most reliable, but that was just a weird one. I didn't understand it. Moustakas is a sort of up-and-down guy. He hasn't really shown that he's been consistent enough, and I don't really know why you'd want to deal Travis Shaw. I think Travis Shaw has a future at this team, and I hope that it's just smoke. All right, so we're going to wrap this up. No Daily Tap tomorrow. We will be doing the Tapping the Keg for the week. We'll talk a lot about the Vikings, Viking-Packer-fan relationship. That is something we'll also kind of look ahead to the Bucks week and talk about anything else on the hot stove. Not like the baseball hot stove, but just the overall hot stove. Okay, so where can you find us? You can find us SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and then you subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a little iTunes review. What do you say? We'd much appreciate it. So have a good Tuesday. Stay safe on the roads if you're driving around in Wisconsin. Tappers, take care. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.